Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
And welcome back to the 11 o'clock hour. This is Issel and Louie on ESPN 680-1057. And however you're listening to us this morning, we appreciate you spending part of your day with us. This hour of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. You can call them at 1-800-955-2030, or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com. Louie's out today. Sitting in for him is our good friend from Horse Racing Happy Hour, Mr. Mike Gandolfo. And it is now time for Picks Without Pat.
On Fridays, we talk football.
Oh, Football Friday.
And some might even call us experts.
Let's go pee!
So let's do the damn thing.
Let's go!
Yeah. All right.
Let's do it, brother.
Here's Picks with Pat, presented by Chef's Cut Pizza.
Don't forget Chef's Cut Pizza on the corner of LaGrange Road and UPS Drive. All day happy hour on Sundays. And don't forget to try that hot brown pizza. It is delicious. And sitting in for Pat, who is off to Charlotte, North Carolina, is our good friend, Mr. Jack Grossman. Jack, how are you?
I am fantastic, Dan. How are you?
I'm terrific. Well, let's get this.
I talked to Pat yesterday.
Oh.
So I guess that qualifies me. And also, our guy Louie still owes me a Chef's Cut hot brown pizza from the Indiana-Michigan State game.
Ooh, well, there you go.
Dan and I had a bet for Breeders' Cup, but I feel bad about collecting on it because
Epicenter
got hurt. So yeah. I'm not like, you know,
yeah, my horse broke yeah. down. You
well, Michigan State blew a 24-7 lead to a 4-8 football team. So I'm not going to feel bad.
I just want you to know, you know, the type of integrity that I have, Dan, on that.
Yes.
You know, I haven't even talked to Dan about it. So
I appreciate that.
All right. All right. Dan, tonight is the Pac-12 championship, and you can hear it here on all ESPN Louisville stations.
Ooh,
7 o'clock
great.
Tonight. Or it says 7 p.m. on all ESPN. I think it's actually, is it actually 8
well,
o'clock?
Well, pregame starts at 7 and kickoff 7.
So all the ESPN, like, and again, if this Pac-12 championship game even comes close to how good the game was and during the regular season, I mean, you're in for a treat tonight, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the game, of course, is going to be played on a neutral site in Las Vegas. And we were talking earlier about how quickly you can turn things around with the transfer portal. I mean, this Southern Cal team was 4-8 last year, and with a win, and they're favored by 2.5 points over Utah. They've got the guy at quarterback who has almost become a unanimous pick to win the Heisman in Caleb Williams. Go ahead, Jack. You start. 2.5 points, Southern Cal and Utah. Who do you like?
It would be the most Pac-12 thing ever if Utah wins this game and USC wins all 11 games against not Utah and then loses twice to Utah.
Just like last year when they did it to who did they do it to last year? Oregon?
Yes, they did it to Oregon last year. And so it would be the most Pac-12 thing ever to keep a team out of the playoff because of that. However, I am going to pick USC because of Caleb Williams, because of that offense, because of the fact that this game, unlike the first one, is not in Utah. It is a neutral site to where you're not having to deal with the road atmosphere. And that also sneaks Michael Penix and Washington into the Rose Bowl. If USC wins and Washington finishes ahead of Utah in the rankings.
There you go. The Rose Bowl, which is going to be played at 2 o'clock, and get the sunset, you know, all this stuff.
They finally budged on the damn sunset.
They did.
Thankfully. Yeah.
Dan, I'm going to go with Southern Cal here. I think they're just getting better. And I think that their performance against Notre Dame, which is a stout defense, I actually just don't think Utah is really that good. We saw them lose to Florida. Florida, as we know now, is not good at all. And I just think that USC is going to be able to kind of come back. They'll get a little revenge after that first game, and Caleb Williams will be the difference. The Pac-12 also probably they haven't had a college football playoff team since like 2017.
Washington, 2007. I think it was 2016, actually.
Yeah.
Tell you exactly it was 2016 because it was.
Was it the 2016 season, 2017 playoff?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was on the same day as Louisville with Lamar Jackson. They lost to LSU, and then Louisville basketball whipped Indiana basketball in Indy.
Okay, so you only remember that because of the Indiana Louisville basketball.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes,
I'm with you on that one. So I will take Southern Cal here, but I'll tell you the as much as when I saw the over under for the UK U of L game last week, which was at 43, I was like, well, you take the under on that all day long.
Smash that under.
And then this is the over under where you just smash the over. It's 63. Like, I feel like this is going to be well above
a track meet. I mean, they combined. They combined for what, 85 points the first time they met.
Right. Yeah, I think you bet the over here. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think this is the best bet of the conference championships. I watched most of the Southern Cal Notre Dame game, and Southern Cal just score every time they have the ball. I mean, they are so talented on the offensive side. Now, on the defensive side, which is exactly what you just said, Mike, the bet here is the over. I see this being a two-touchdown win because Southern Cal is just, I mean, they're just so talented on the offensive side. Now, you're absolutely right, Jack. The Pac-12 has a history of devouring one another. And so if Utah wins and keeps Southern Cal out of the playoffs, that would be keeping with history. But I don't see that happening. I'll go with Southern Cal. Okay, the next one, noon tomorrow, we have the Big 12 championship, Kansas State against number 10 Kansas State against number 3 TCU. TCU is favored, undefeated TCU is favored by just 2.5. Where'd you go on this one, Mike?
This one's difficult for me because I feel like, of course, they played early in the year, and it was TCU beat Kansas State 38-28, and it was at TCU. And then after that, we saw Kansas State just come back and just demolish Oklahoma State, right? And then they demolished Baylor. They did lose to Texas. And then they demolished, which is a pretty good Kansas team. They beat Neil Brown by 17 at West Virginia, which is not an easy place to play. I just kind of feel like this K-State team is really rolling and really playing well. And actually, the more interesting question is, when K-State does win this game, does TCU still get in the college football playoff? Do they get penalized for having one loss in the extra game, and then Ohio State gets elevated in? To me, it's going to be the more interesting story here to watch. And I think as long as they don't get blown out, I think they deserve to be in the college football playoff. But I do think that K-State is going to take this one. And by the way, Dan, you can listen to this game. You know what? This is the one game that's not going to be on the radio. Never mind. Okay.
And I'll say this. I'm going to be livid on Sunday because there's nothing this committee wants more than to sneak Ohio State into that playoff. Kansas State is going to cover. TCU's going to win the game by 1 or 2 points, and they're still going to put Ohio State in the playoff. And it's going to be incredibly infuriating, but that's how jaded I am about college football. They want the biggest brands in no matter what. There's nothing less they want than than to kick TCU out of this playoff.
Well, actually, I wonder if the bigger loser there would be Southern Cal, because there's a lot of scuttlebutt that they still think that Ohio State's going to jump over Southern Cal, even if Southern Cal wins without playing.
Southern Cal's in the in-group, though, in the brands of college football.
That.
TCU isn't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying what I saw on ESPN this morning, you know, where they feel like there was still a better chance Ohio State jumps that, even if Southern Cal was to win, which I don't see.
No, I disagree with that 100%. If TCU wins and Southern Cal wins, the way that Michigan spanked Ohio State,
right,
in the horseshoe,
one would think.
Yeah, there's no way they get in. I agree with you. You know, that game, Mike, that early in the year that TCU won 38-28, do you know at one time Kansas State was ahead 28-10?
Right, yeah. And they had the big comeback. Yeah,
and that's why I love this TCU team, is that there have been games when they have not played well, and they still found a way to win. I reference the Texas game all the time. The first half of the Texas game, they were pitiful. The first 18 plays they ran, talking about TCU against Texas, the first 18 plays they ran, they gained a total of 9 yards and still found a way to come back. And I think this team is, they refuse to get beat. And so I'm going to stick with my team that I've been with all year. I'm going to pick TCU over Kansas State.
And for the record, I want TCU in the playoff. I want them to win and be in the playoff.
I do think too.
Ohio State should not be in the playoff.
Yeah. But again, I think that the idea that we could have four conferences represented in the playoff is very appealing. Have we had that yet, where we've had four?
The first couple of years. Because the first time they didn't do that, and they had Alabama leapfrog Ohio State and Penn State, which that was ridiculous as well.
Right.
But that was the first time they had two SEC teams, and then last year there were two SEC teams,
right.
Obviously.
It's been a while, though. Yeah.
It's been a little mix and match.
A reminder that Picks Without Pat, but with Jack Grossman, is brought to you by Chef's Cut Pizza on the corner of LaGrange Road.
Two top 25 basketball games on tonight.
Yeah, there you go. All day happy hour on Sunday. Stop in and tell the people at Chef's Cut that Issel and Louie sent you. Okay, let's now go to the game that has no influence on anything, and that's the ACC Championship game. Will be played in Charlotte. And that's Saturday night at 8 p.m. Number 9 Clemson against number 23 North Carolina. Where do you go, Jack?
I'm going
North Carolina. North Carolina, by the way, is a 7.5-point dog.
I'm going North Carolina because I don't trust Clemson's offense to score enough points to win by multiple scores. That's pretty much where I'm at. I think Clemson still wins the game because they're as good as North Carolina's offense is. Clemson's defense is still really legit. But I think 7.5, 8 points, that's too many points for me to trust DJ in that offense.
This game will be on 93.9 The Ville. Pregame starts at 7 o'clock. You can listen there. Including all the conference championship coverage is sponsored by upsjobs.com. You know, I think we just know that everyone loses when the ACC plays football right now because it's terrible. It is just terrible football. But I do think that at the end of the day, I think Clemson gets this one done. They're sliding a little bit, but again, North Carolina's just I don't know. It's just two really average teams going at it. I don't know if I like Clemson to cover, but I think I like Clemson to win. So I'll take North Carolina to cover, but Clemson to win. And kind of an interesting game here because they didn't play in the regular season. So we'll get to see a little bit of that matchup for the first time, which is unusual, I guess, here. So,
yeah. How can you bet on a team who is quarterbacked by a young man who in probably the biggest game of the year, if you throw out Notre Dame, went 8-for-29 passing the ball?
Yeah.
I can't put any faith in Clemson. They might win the game, but 7.5 points is just too many points. And I don't know, after losing that game to South Carolina, I don't know if Clemson's going to be really excited about playing in this, because for them, the benchmark, the goal every year is to play in the championship, and they're not doing that this
But is year. That is that fair to say for this Clemson team, like this group of individuals? I mean, that really hadn't been, you know, well, I guess when Blake was there, was Lawrence was there 2 years ago. So, like, last year they knew they weren't going to be able to make it in. And this Carolina team's coming off two straight losses, too. So, and they lost to North Carolina State, who doesn't even have a quarterback.
Yeah, like I say, this game is irrelevant.
Not interesting.
So, yeah.
But you listen on 93.9 The Ville.
There you go.
If you want to.
There you go. Yeah. Let's go to the SEC Championship. This is the afternoon game tomorrow on CBS. Georgia against number one Georgia against number 14 LSU. And Georgia is favored by 17.5 points. What do you say, Mike?
All right, so this SEC Championship game will be on ESPN 680 and 105.7, starting at 3:30 on Saturday, so you can watch there. Georgia is the best team in the country, Dan, and I think they are going to state their dominance. And I expect Georgia to come out and win big, and, you know, and they'll cover and start their path to another national championship.
Not so fast, my friend. Oh. We finally got one. Someone disagreed with something. 17 points is way too many points. Georgia, I do agree they're the best team in the country, most likely team to win the national championship, but they've been playing with their food lately. They haven't exactly That's been fair. Going out and busting teams. They've kind of been disinterested. And whether that be, you know, Georgia Tech for a while last week, Kentucky a couple weeks before. Heck, you can even go back to Missouri. Back in October, whenever that game was.
Yep.
Was Georgia isn't exactly just busting teams right now. To where LSU, I get it, they lost to A&M last week. They don't have any hope for the playoff anymore. But they will put up a fight, and they will keep it relatively close to where they're not going to win the game, but they will cover that 17. Way too many points for me.
Yeah, this is hard for me to read, guys, because I don't know, as you just said, Jack, LSU's out of the picture with that terrible loss at Texas A&M. So does LSU say, well, you know what, the season's over, we're kind of locked into our bowl game, and you know, just don't show up? Or is it the other side of the coin? Because I agree with what you just said, Jack. Georgia only scored 16 points against Kentucky. I don't see them scoring 35, 40 points against LSU. Or does LSU say, you know, we're a whole lot better than that. We've got to come out and prove that we belong in this championship game. 17.5 points is a lot of points. I'm going with Georgia.
By the way, Georgia has not won the SEC championship since 2005. You know, so there you go with that. I mean, I'm sorry, 2017. What am I thinking? I skipped right over 2017 when they beat Auburn. Yeah. So, but we've seen this Georgia LSU matchup in this game a lot. And, you know, you got one team that could be thinking their team's season's over and one that could be looking ahead to the playoff. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. All right, the night game tomorrow that everybody will be watching and listening to instead of Clemson and North Carolina is, of course, the undefeated Michigan Wolverines against Purdue. Somebody had to win the Big Ten West. Purdue isn't even ranked, and Michigan is a 17-point. We'll go. I've seen 17.5. We'll go with 17. Michigan favored, and this game is in Indianapolis. Jack, where do you go?
This is the easiest bet all week for me.
Oh,
and it's not even
Purdue,
close.
That close?
No. Huh. No. And first of all, can I just say it's a shame that the Big Ten, the ACC title games, are the nightcaps, that
yes.
those are the primetime games, because they're both going to be so bad to watch. Just because no one cares about the ACC one, and Michigan is just going to absolutely curb stomp Purdue. They are. They're better. The Big Ten West is a joke. It's an absolute joke. You know how many times the Big Ten West has won the Big Ten title game?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times the Big Ten West team has even covered in the title game?
What? Once?
Once.
Okay. Who was that?
That was Iowa against Michigan State in 2015 when it was like a 12-9 final score, which was the most Big Ten game ever. Purdue, they've had a fine season. Jeff Brohm's done a really good job there. But they are only in this championship game because of how pathetic that side of the conference is. Michigan, even without Blake Corum, who's out for the rest of the year. Donovan Edwards showed that he's just fine in that Ohio State game. This is a team that is playing for bigger things than just beating Ohio State. They're playing to secure their spot in the college football playoff, and they're going to do that, and they are going to absolutely curb stomp Purdue. And one other thing, Bill Connolly, the S&P Plus guy, I know that Bob likes to use the Sagarin, and I kind of prefer S&P Plus. He has Michigan by 25. So that spread's about 8 points off on the stat line also. So whether you want to go with the stat, dude, the feel, or just the fact that the Big Ten East absolutely dominates the Big Ten West in this game. Everything points to Michigan just absolutely destroying Purdue.
Except tomorrow. For one thing.
Jeff Brohm
steps up in these situations, and he is incredible against top five teams. This is his first visit to this game, and when it's these big spots, Jeff Brohm has his team ready to go. I do think Michigan wins, but I think Purdue makes it interesting. And I think we will play this one out, and then I think we will have a Brohm announce that he's coaching in the state of Kentucky next year.
Whoa!
But not Jeff.
But not Jeff, yes.
Do you all realize of the five games, the five Power Five conference championship games that we've talked about, out of the five games, the 10 teams, Purdue is the only team that's not ranked in the top 25.
Right.
I'm going to go with Jack. I don't think this game is close. 17 is a lot of points, but I don't think it's a lot of points when you're talking about the best team in the Big Ten East against what is, I guess, somebody had to win the West. So I'm going to go with Purdue and give the 17. Quick question before we wrap up picks without Pat. Who of the four teams that we've talked about, the four top-ranked teams, Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and Southern Cal, which of these teams – Or there might be more than one in your estimation, does not make the championship if they lose tomorrow, Jack?
TCU and USC, and
both of them.
If they lose, neither one of them makes it. If both of them lose, they'll happily put in Ohio State and Alabama, and they
two-loss Alabama over the one-loss TCU.
It's all about the name. If there's one thing we know about college football, they don't value squat.
Yes.
All they value is that damn elephant and the damn blocko. That's all they want.
The Buckeye. Oh, hell no.
They just want the nut and the elephant in the room. That's all they want. You look at every single decision the College Football Playoff Committee has ever made. It's been to benefit those two damn teams.
They go from...
And it's ridiculous.
They go from the four. Well, the I don't think that's true. If they go to the 12-team playoff, that's not benefiting those two teams.
So. Yeah, it is. That means they'll get in every year.
Sure, but I mean, again, that also
they'll get buys.
Yeah, they might get buys, but they also have a better chance of not making it to the final. I think so. I think if you're saving, you'd rather have four teams than you were 12. Especially
so. So
but,
Mike,
but
you're
in the four team era though. Every 50-50 decision has gone the way favoring either Alabama or Ohio State, except for 2017 when Ohio State got left out to put in, Alabama. Every single time.
The SEC's better.
No. I'm not arguing about that.
I know. I'm just messing with you. I'm just poking the bear.
Yeah.
By the way, the bear who left ESPN and is now going to Fox Sports.
Yes,
I don't know if you all saw
the
that.
Fox bear. Yeah. Oh, wait. I did not see that.
Yeah.
The actual bear. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big move.
Yeah.
So, Mike, your answer would be TCU's in regardless, and Southern Cal is out if they lose.
I do think that there's a scenario where TCU actually gets blown out tomorrow, and I think that's where you would have a conversation. But I think if TCU loses in a close one, I think they're probably going to be in.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that they're dying, as Jack said, they're dying to put in a one-loss Ohio State team.
Yeah.
Now, if TCU loses and Southern Cal wins, then I think they put in Ohio State over TCU.
Agreed.
If Southern Cal loses and TCU wins, if they both lose, I think TCU still stays in. I think they put a one-loss TCU in above a two-loss Alabama team.
I think,
Jack, we
I think if USC and TCU both lose, because the one other thing we've known is that they haven't put in a two-loss team yet.
Right.
This would be the ultimate test of that, if it's TCU versus two-loss Alabama.
Yeah, good. Jack, thanks for sitting in.
My pleasure, guys. Pat. Always enjoy it.
This has been Picks Without Pat, sponsored by Chef's Cut Pizza at the corner of LaGrange Road and UPS Drive. Don't forget that weekday lunch special, $5.99, pizza and wings. All-day happy hour on Sunday. And don't forget that hot brown pizza. It is delicious. After the break, we'll be back to do a little horse handicapping. Cigar Mile tomorrow at Aqueduct.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Welcome back for the last segment of the week. And always on Fridays, we talk about thoroughbred horse racing. A reminder that this hour of the show is brought to you by our friends at Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage or for a vision plan, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered. You can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com. And sitting in the last couple of days for Louie has been our good friend Mike Gandolfo. And Mike, the thoroughbred world is usually pretty quiet between Breeders' Cup and the first of the year. A great card tomorrow at Aqueduct, a Grade 1 Cigar Mile, two Grade 2s, and a Grade 3.
Yeah, this is typically, I guess, really the last major weekend of racing, and then it takes a little bit of a break. And Louis still going to be bringing you some really good content on the Horse Racing Happy Hour. If you want to tune into that, I will not be there probably until we get closer to the Pegasus. Although I might sneak in there, and like I said, I might want to share where I am thinking with my Eclipse Award votes. I'm trying to make sure that my Eclipse Award votes, you know, we take into consideration of what people really want. You know, for example, I would assume that, like, if Zandon wins this race in the Cigar Mile, would you still have Epicenter as your champion 3-year-old of the year?
Yes. Yes.
I'm leaning that way, too.
Epicenter, and even if Taba wins the Malibu, I still have Epicenter. Epicenter, I think, was the most consistent horse from beginning until he got hurt in the Breeders' Cup. He only won the one Grade 1, which seems to be somewhat of a measuring stick, but he was second in the Derby and second in the Preakness. And no, I think Epicenter's 3-year-old champ.
So, you know, it's going to be fun to kind of get those arguments. And so I'm going to try to make sure that I'm out there a little bit, you know, posting my rankings and stuff like that. So for those Eclipse Award votes, and we'll go from there. So
now Louis obviously is not going to give his picks, but he will have his picks in the green sheet.
They're
and
correct.
So if you're interested in what Mr. Ribeau is thinking with these four races that we're going to cover, pick up a copy of the green sheet wherever you get horse racing information or online. All right, Mike, the first race, race number 6. And by the way, during the break, I looked up the weather in New York. It's supposed to start raining about 10 a.m. tomorrow in New York with a 90% chance of showers the rest of the day.
I couldn't tell how heavy those showers would be, though, Dan. And that's going to be real interesting. And let me ask you, you know, you're a horse owner. If you have a hotshot 2-year-old going in one of these early races, and would you consider scratching if the rain was that bad?
No, not really. For a couple of reasons. Number one, for these 2-year-olds, this is a pretty important race, as we referenced earlier. You know, the last two winners of the Demoiselle have been Nest and Malathat.
Right.
And Mo Donegal won the Remsen. So they wouldn't let him run if the track was not. And you know, you could come up with a sloppy track for the Oaks or for the Derby. So why not find out now if they can run? So race 6, a mile and an eighth for 2-year-old fillies. the grade two $250,000 demoiselle. Who do you have, Michael?
Well, I mean, it's really hard not to like Royal Shining off of the big performance first time out of Keeneland on October 16th. This is that daughter of Curlin that you were referencing earlier. But if it is wet, there's one horse here who has wet experience at Aqueduct, actually, because it's the Belmont meet was run at Aqueduct and on sloppy track, and Lovita Sophia won that race. It's actually the only win that she has is over a sloppy go at Aqueduct. I still would guess that she's probably going to be a little too slow for this field, especially with Julia Shining just looking very dominant. Now, Julia Shining, though, does like to come off the pace, so she is going to need a little bit of pace here to close out. So that'll be the interesting thing to see whether or not she'll get that pace. But this would be my most likely winner of the day. I could potentially see Foggy Knight pop up here, but I don't know, Dan. When I look at these two-year-olds who kind of are always finishing second, you know, horses by nature are pack animals, and I'm really looking to find that one horse who really wants to break away. And Foggy Knight did that in the one win that she has. She won by 11 lengths. But at the end of the day, like the rest of the time, she's kind of been in the middle of the pack and probably not as tested as what we're going to see out of Julia Shining.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Julia Shining.
That is the only, three horse, by the way.
Yeah, number three is the full sister to Malathat, who will be champion older filly and mare this year. And I saw her first race, her first and only race, live at Keeneland. And, of course, everybody's interested in following her. She went off the favorite that day because of her pedigree. Mike, she broke slow, and she was climbing down the backside, and you thought, oh, my goodness, this filly isn't going to get anything. And then Saez wheeled her out of the kickback, and she just closed like a freight train. Now, you know, I don't know who she was beating. The horse that finished second in that race has come back to break her maiden. But here's, if it is a sloppy track, look at that wet number. 445 is her wet number in the PPs. So I agree with you. I think Julia Shining is the most likely winner of the entire day.
Yeah, and of course, now what do you think? If she ends up winning impressively, would you fault me if I put her as my champion two-year-old after just two performances?
No, I wouldn't fault you, but I think you're throwing your vote away because, you know, it always goes to the two-year-old filly that wins the Breeders' Cup juvenile filly
race. That's lazy, though, right?
Wonder Wheel will be the two-year-old champ.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens there. So let's move on then to the Remsen, which is a grade two, $250,000 purse. This is the two-year-old version of the race we just talked about, a mile and an eighth on the dirt. We're going to see – this is going to be, to me, Dan, a really interesting matchup. I'll actually let you go first here, but I am pretty excited about what the showdown we could actually get in this race is.
Yeah, no, I think this is the spread race. I think this is going to be a pretty chalky sequence, but I think you have to spread the morning line 8-5 favorite Tuskegee Airmen. Mm-hmm. He has won his two races at Parks and at Delaware. I don't know, he got a pretty nice number. I don't know what he was beating. You certainly have to use him. There's a New York bred in here, this four horse Arctic Arrogance by Frosted. I don't know if I want to bet a New York bred in this race. The number six, Quick to Accuse, is also a New York bred. I spread here. My long shot of the day is actually the one horse, Il Miracolo. He's a gun runner. I talked about the wet number for Julia Shining. Look at this horse's wet number, Mike, 474. I don't know if I've ever seen a wet number that high. This horse just took him four starts. He had 3 seconds in a row and then won his fourth start, all at Gulfstream. Those mile races at Gulfstream are one-turn races, and he gets a really nice jockey upgrade to Castellano. And I'm going to use him. He's 12-1 on the morning line, first time around two turns. I'm going to use the two, and I'm going to use the seven, and that with Jose Ortiz, Good Magic again, a $400,000 yearling buy, and so I'm using those three horses in my horizontal play.
I guess the Ortiz brothers do know how to win some races in New York, don't they?
Yeah,
they've won a couple of them. Yes. Yeah, I mean Luis Saez might have a really big day with the amounts that he has. You know, Tuskegee Airmen does come from Delaware and from Park, so you always got to look at those meets about where these horses are coming from. And when you look at that, it's not as impressive as like if you came from Keeneland or Churchill Downs. But we're not getting a huge spread as far as where these horses are coming from. So so I'm actually thinking that when I look at these two-year-olds, number one, it's a street sense. And it's the dam is out of Magdalena de Oro. So no question, bred for the distance.
No.
It's $290,000 purchase. John Service is the trainer. Two solid starts, and we saw improvements with both. You know, I like Tuskegee Airmen here. I think that this is probably, like you said, it's probably where you can go short, or if you decide that Tuskegee Airman's not going to get it, you might have to even hit that all button, because you could make a case for even, like, for example, the three horse. The three horse is, on paper, does not look like it's going to be able to compete, but it's coming out of Aqueduct, Keeneland, and Churchill Downs. I mean, it's ran at Saratoga. It's got more experience than anyone else, so... you know, you've got longer shots here that you would have to consider.
Yep. So, all right. Race number eight is the Grade 3, $200,000 goal for Juan for fillies and mares. Where did you land here, Mike?
Yeah, so this is actually where my long shot of the day is. I like Jose Ortiz's mount here on the six horse with Self-Isolation. Self-Isolation was a California horse that was trained by Doug O'Neill. Had decent success over in California. Came over to David Jacobson two races ago. Has won twice at Aqueduct in that time frame. And this is the horse that I like very much because I think Jose Ortiz here, this horse won in a dead heat first time out, came out, improved on the next time out. That's the one I liked. I also, though, my second choice would be the other Ortiz brother. I would go with Ired's horse here. Going sprinter route at 32%. And then the jockey trainer combo here at 25% with Robert Reed and Ired Ortiz, even though it's a little bit of a limited pool here. So I looked at those two horses, and Dr. B is probably going to be bet above Self-Isolation, but Self-Isolation is the horse I'm going with on this one.
Okay, good. All right. I am going with the three horse Battle Bling. Again, pretty chalky for me. This horse, five starts at Aqueduct, has 2 seconds and 3/3. The biggest buyer number the last two races, likes the track. And I'll also go with your seven horse, Dr. B. Of course, a mile race at Aqueduct is around one turn. So going from 7 furlongs to a mile shouldn't be too big of a step up. So I'll use a three Battle Bling. And the seven, Dr. B.
And the other one, I didn't mention this horse either, but Love in the Air is going to be a 10-1 shot. That is another price that he's coming off two straight wins, potentially could pop up here as well. So I think this is the race that's probably, if you're playing a sequence, that this is the one where you're going to potentially get that one that could increase the value of your ticket. And by the way, Louis' ticket in the green sheet, which you can get at greensheetracing.com, it's only $16 for the sequence that he put together. So it's a very playable ticket there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the main event. That's Cigar Mile, which is presented by Naira. It's the Grade 1 $750,000 purse. And again, like you just mentioned, it's a one-turn mile here, which I think favors Zane Dunn quite a bit. Louis, listen, I got in horse racing happy hour mode right there, Dan, and I called you Louis. I am so sorry to insult you. That boy, by that way,
yeah, know. That's the worst thing you could have called me.
I mean, that is about as bad as it gets, right there. So, so Dan, this is going to be this to me is really interesting because I don't – you got a field here. I think this is a grade one field because of the horses that are involved. Louie and I do that on the show a lot where we say, hey, is this really a grade one field? But at the same time, it's like a grade one field with some bruises, you know, because you get a horse like Zandon who's going to go off at even money but hasn't won since the Bluegrass Stakes. You get an interesting horse to me and Double Crown who just ran fantastic in the Kelso.
Yep.
And beat Baby Yoda, but was a huge price in the Kelso and won that one. But that was at Aqueduct, and it was the same distance, and it's 15-1. And a lot of people love Norman Cash as a trainer and think that he's on the way up. You get a White Barrio who hasn't really done nothing since the Florida Derby. I mean, this is the Get Her Number horse who is coming off a win, but has every single time that horse has stepped up into graded stakes company has just never been able to find. It just seems to be the type of horse that just wins optional claimers. You get the Obesos running back here again, you know, but we haven't seen any of that.
I think Obesos is scratched. I think because of the outbreak. A lot of tracks are not letting Churchill horses ship in, and so Obesos. And it's a shame because I would
Obesos
have
probably could have won this thing.
Yeah, I would have given Greg Foley's trainee a big shot in here, but that's why it's 99-1 on the morning line. It'll be scratched because he couldn't leave Churchill down.
So I'm going with Todd Pletcher here. I'm going to trust Johnny V and Todd Pletcher and Mind Control, the 7. This is going to be my pick. I think when I look at all these other horses, I can come up with just way more reasons why they're not going to win versus who is going to win.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mind Control, of course. Zandon is the even money favorite, and he hits the board. You talked about not being able to pass horses. He hits the board every time. The one thing that I would question about Zandon, Mike, is the fact that he's never run against. All of his races have been against two-year-olds when he was a two-year-old and three-year-olds when he was a three-year-old. He's never faced older horses, and the 7-horse Mind Control is just old. He's 6 years old. This will be his last start, by the way. They haven't announced where, but he will be off to stud, and he's just an old, hard-knocking horse. You get Johnny Velasquez, and I'm going to take the elder over the younger and take the 7 over Zandon.
I mean, really what has to happen for Zandon to win this race, and you tell me if you disagree, but White Barrio's got to go, and Mind Control's got to push White Barrio's pace, and I just don't know if there's going to be enough speed here for Zandon to come in and close and get that win. And a horse who has not won since the spring is not a horse who I want to put an even money bet down on. So
yeah, and you know, they put him on the lead in the Pennsylvania Derby in his last start. They put him on the lead, and he wanted none of that. He got very soft fractions and stopped at the end. So I'm not so sure that IRAD will send him here. I think they'll try to lay off the pace. And so I think that Mind Control has a pretty easy lead in this thing.
Could go wire to wire. So
Yep.
Don't forget about that one horse, though. If there's going to be an upset, it would be that Double Crown coming back.
Double Crown.
And go with that.
If you go off of his last race, which was at Aqueduct, he's 1-for-1 at Aqueduct. He won the Grade 3 Kelso, and he only paid $86 that day.
Not bad. That's a big race. If you don't follow horse racing, you probably haven't heard of the Kelso, but that's a big race.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're almost to the end. Mike, I really appreciate you sitting in the last couple of days. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm glad that everything has worked out for Louie.
Yep.
And I enjoy the weekend. Do you have anything other than football and horse racing this weekend?
Well, I mean, this weekend I will be right after the show, I'm going to go grab some Birnos because Birnos will bring by. And don't forget that Birnos is collecting for their toy drive.
Right.
Bring a new unwrapped toy to any metro area Birnos to support the Childhood Cancer Family Fund. Fund at St. Jude Hospital. But today is the last day, so you can drop off a present or a check. But for me, Dan, tomorrow I'll have the football on the TV, and we're going to decorate for the holidays. We have not decorated the holidays yet.
Yeah. Do you enjoy that?
No, but the best part the best part of it, just because it creates such a freaking mess, the best part of it is that we pull, like, we don't have, like, a designer-looking tree. Like, our tree is, like, the ornaments, like, even ornaments that my wife and I made when we were young. We have the old, like, it is such a, like, a family-looking tree. So we basically have cuts. So it's like, you know, did this ornament make the cut or not make the cut? Our tree definitely tells a story. Like, we have ornaments from places that we visit. We have all that kind of stuff. It's kind of fun.
I like that. Yeah. Louis and I did ours, I think, earlier in the week. We were both assigned that task. And I'm like you. I really don't enjoy it. I enjoy it after it's all up and the candles, the smell of Christmas and the lights. But no, putting it all together is not my favorite thing to do. Well, again, Mike, thank you very much. Great job. I enjoyed being with you the last couple of days. And enjoy your weekend. This has been Issel and Louie on ESPN 680 105.7. We'll be back again Monday. Louie will be back in the studio. I'm going to watch a lot of football over the weekend. We hope you have a great weekend, too. And enjoy the football, everybody.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.